Good morning and welcome to Second Breakfast with Lucas and Phil. I'm Lucas.
And I, of course, am Phil.
And today, what do we have, Phil? A very special episode.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Very, very special episode. We're excited today, but we're a little, it's going to be a little strange because we are remote. We're not remote very often.
No. In fact, I've had some of our listeners tell me, hey, you guys are way better when you're together. So we'll see how this remote thing goes.
Yeah. So thanks for bringing that up, Lucas. So this episode will be the very average episode.
No, it's special because it's mediocre and the rest are better than that.
Just like my mediocre coffee from Panera Bread.
Well, at least it's right cheap. Here. Phil, now tell me, since that's mediocre, what's the best thing you had to eat this week?
I got to tell you. So it's a double thing. My wife, first of all, she made a dish that's amazing. I'll tell you about it in a second. But I just have to shout out vitamin C gummies. Oh, my goodness.
Say more.
How do they taste so good? How is that so good? Vitamin C gummies, and especially like the black elderberry ones. You know what I'm talking about?
No idea,
yeah.
Phil.
Yeah.
No
yeah,
idea.
Yeah.
Nope.
Okay, well, you got to go get you some black elderberry gummies. Oh, my goodness. Yes, they're mostly sugar, but it's the vitamin C in there, whatever that is, citric acid. what is vitamin C? It's got another name. It's got a chemical name. But it tastes so good to... I don't know why, but... The best thing I've had to eat this week, for reals, is my wife's Greek chicken. It's called like one pan Greek chicken.
Mm.
She puts all these vegetables, Kalamata olives, some chicken breast, all these vegetables, this Greek dressing, and she bakes it on a single pan. And it's, oh my goodness, it is so good. Artichoke hearts. All the Greek stuff, feta cheese. She puts feta cheese on it at the end, you know, while it's all kind of sizzling and hot. Then she pours the crumbles of feta cheese over the top.
That sounds really good. It sounds really, really healthy, too.
It is pretty. We've been really trying to eat healthy. We're eating a lot less meat. I go days occasionally. I mean, not days, maybe. I don't think I've been more than a day at a time in a row without meat. Hmm. But we're trying to eat a lot more vegetables, a lot more good, healthy food. And I'll tell you this. All the diets I've ever been on, that those of you that know me know that I'm rather aggressively built. So dieting is always a part of my life. All the diets I've been on, people say, oh, but don't you feel better? I'm like, heck no. I feel terrible. I'm miserable. But... with this, you know, sort of trying to eat plant-based, I'm eating a lot of fruit, then I feel great because fruit wakes your brain up. It's got plenty of natural sugar. So,
and fruit, yeah. I love the, like, it's so much water in it. Like, it just fills you up. So,
absolutely.
Especially
like an apple or peach.
That's what we've talked about Noom in the past, and that's their big deal. It's green foods, which are basically foods that have a large amount of water content.
Yeah.
That's what, like, any diet that's like, well, watch out for fruit because it has sugar. I'm like, okay, shut up.
Yeah.
Like, here's the deal. You say that thinking like you're helping me, but instead I'll just go eat a Snickers because I'm going to eat sugar
anyway. Exactly. Yeah, you cannot equate the sugar in fruit to the sugar in, you know, Snickers and a Coke or a... In my case, a maple glazed cinnamon roll
to eat the same amount of sugar in grapes versus like a Snickers, you're going to have to eat a whole bag of grapes or two bags of grapes
Two bags of grapes. Yeah.
And
it's going to take some time investment.
I know some
to eat.
Dietitian, if a dietitian is listening, that's awesome. But if some of them are like, sugar is sugar no matter what, I disagree. Like, and I'm
no,
not,
it's
I don't know
definitely
the
not.
Science behind it, but it is like, if you eat an apple, like, the amount of sugar in an apple might be equivalent to something else, but you feel so much better after eating an apple.
I don't understand the science behind it, but I know that the sugar in fruit is not, your body is not made to digest the sugar in a Snickers bar, but it is made to digest the sugar in fruit. So
processed sugars is not made to be processed by you.
Totally different thing. What's the best thing you had to eat this week, Lucas?
Well, I was just going to say that like Greek food is super healthy unless you cook it in its country of origin, because then it's all cooked in Greece. Sorry.
Oh, wait. Was that a joke? That's hilarious. Yeah.
Anyway.
Greece. Yeah.
I was just going to say, I was thinking about this earlier before we recorded, and the best thing I had to eat was probably, honestly, just some breakfast tacos. So I went out to a restaurant yesterday morning to get coffee, and they had gluten-free cinnamon rolls. So I was like, this is going to be my best thing I had to eat this week. I know it. And then it wasn't. I was actually pretty disappointed. So,
Man, I'm sorry.
That's okay. That's okay. So anyway, Tori made breakfast tacos for breakfast. Homegrown eggs.
But I'm just thankful you're not talking about. I'm just thankful you're not talking about gluten-free biscuits and gravy again, Lucas.
Every time,
Phil. That's getting old.
I did find out two new places to go try them, so I'm planning trips.
Okay. All right.
So
awesome.
Anyway,
awesome.
Phil.
Awesome. Just don't talk about it on the podcast.
I've got a dad story with Lucas.
Dad story with Lucas.
So,
all right, let's hear it.
The other day, we were getting ready for bed, all of us. And so we have like our nightly routine with the girls, and they go brush their teeth. We help them brush their teeth. Naomi has to go to the bathroom again. We clean their ears, kind of wash their hands, face and feet, get them changed to pajamas, all that good stuff. So we're in the bathroom, and whatever we were asking Naomi to do, she did not want to do. So she started, as all children do on occasion, having a fit. And then she she wanted to be done throwing this fit, but like her body just wouldn't stop, you know, like she's crying. So she's laying on my lap crying, and she just looks up at Tori and I and goes, "What is wrong with me?" It was amazing. Such a cutie.
That's great. So, that is good stuff right there.
Anyway. Yeah, it was a good time. It was a good time. So
Well, see, now that moment is memorialized.
Memorialized forever.
Memorialized forever. You know, there's so many times you wish you were just running that camera. And you think about the parents who show these things on YouTube. What is their life like? They've always got their phone videoing.
I know. That's where I was like, the America's Funniest Home Videos, which used to be funny. That could be a whole minute of curmudgeonry, that it's not funny anymore. But
They're all staged. Anyway.
It's just TikTok. Just watch TikTok instead.
Right. Yeah.
So today, Phil, is that's all of our anymore. We didn't even talk about a draft. So that's okay though, because
that's all right.
We have the show. It's a game show.
A game.
So I wanted to talk about
the whole show is game-ish.
The whole show, it's like The Price is Wrong. So I thought we should talk about growth mindset. So I was in a professional development a few weeks ago. And
for those that don't know, Lucas is now a teacher.
Yes, I'm teaching sixth grade math. So the joke's on them. I don't know how to do sixth grade math. Let's see how long I can last.
Yeah, we'll see how long this goes.
See whether I figure
out. No, you'll do great, Lucas.
Thanks, Phil.
I've always thought you reminded me of many sixth graders from my math class.
You are so sweet. So, anyway,
I know.
There's this lady named Carol Dweck who did a bunch of research. Awesome. And she wrote about a growth and fixed mindsets and the difference between the two. And so just to quickly go over the difference, and then you have a quiz for us to take together.
I have a quiz.
The main difference is like a fixed mindset says like this is what it is like, and a growth mindset is this is how it can be.
Right.
So like, anyway, and we'll go more after the quiz. We'll go over it just to make sure we're not swinging your answers, Phil. So
yeah.
We don't want you to lie about what kind of mindset you have. So
it doesn't matter.
Without further ado, Phil and I are going to take
60. No one cares if I grow.
I do. I want you to grow all the time.
Really, Phil. It's very late in the it's very late in the game for me to be thinking about getting better.
That's the mindset,
okay, so
to have,
here,
Phil.
Wait, are you ready for the quiz?
Are you actually 60?
Yes, I am, Lucas.
I thought you were almost 60.
I'm the senior citizen here. I am 60.
Dang.
May the 16th, I turned 60.
You're old. Anyway, go on.
Yeah. Okay. So you're ready for the quiz?
Yeah. Before you die, let's go.
So the first questions, it's not a question. It's agree, disagree. Please play along at home. There are no prizes. Only the satisfaction of knowing that you took this quiz. So the first question, and probably the most basic idea in the growth mindset is, agree or disagree, intelligence is a trait you cannot change. Agree or disagree. So some, are you just as intelligent as you are, or you can actually change your intelligence level. And I'll just say for myself, I've always sort of believed that your intelligence is fixed. That's kind of the way I've always thought about it. So I'm going to say I agree, although I'm not sure at this point, after doing a little research, that I still really agree. What would you have said your whole life?
I mean, I think especially through high school, I probably would have said like, yeah, if you're smart, you're smart, and that's it.
Right.
But I think too, like, I don't know, for most of my life, like reading has been a big deal, and not that I've read enough, but I mean, what is reading if not kind of becoming more intelligent, right? You become more well-read, you have differing opinions. So to me, I think for the past probably 10 years, I've had more of a mindset of you can become more intelligent.
Yeah, I think I would probably agree now after, you know, having sort of thought through some of these things. Part of this we've talked about on the podcast. We've talked a little bit about this with the whole thing on stress and forward center of gravity. I think, you know, I would say intelligence is the potential for learning. And I think we have a tendency to say that our potential might be fixed, but I think things like intelligence or maybe even talent, those things, I think maybe you can grow in those areas in a really significant way. So.
Yeah, and I think having the mindset that you can grow raises your potential more than you realize, you know, like
in our mindset conversations when we talked about faith or we just talked about life, we talked about the way that we view a situation has a big impact on how our body responds to it. So, and it certainly has an impact on how our brains respond as far as neuroplasticity. I think if you go into a situation thinking, I can't learn this, scientifically, it's proven that those kind of attitudes and mentalities limit your neuroplasticity.
Yeah. I mean, that's the fixed mindset.
So here's the second question. Intelligence can change with hard work and perseverance. Agree or disagree? Again, I think I would have always disagreed with this, but I'm going to agree today. That's my answer on the quiz that I'm taking online.
I feel like whoever made this quiz, that's the same question, right?
Backwards. Yes, it is.
It's funny. Intelligence, I just looked up the definition because I wanted to make sure we're on the same page, but it's the ability to acquire and apply knowledge and skills.
Ability as opposed to potential. Whereas I would have always defined it as potential.
Which I
would have said is limited.
It is like, it's not how much knowledge you have, it's the ability to gain knowledge. And so I think, again, like, there's outliers in everything. And so you look like...
Yeah.
Obviously, there's geniuses that have this just heightened ability because they were born that way. Then there's also people born that do have disabilities and have learning disabilities or things where they can't function in a normal manner.
In certain areas
And so, but you throw, like, when you're talking about these things, like, the outliers have to remain there because that's, like, maybe 1% of every person, like, are in either of those categories. So.
Yeah.
So, to me, yes.
Yeah.
Through hard work and perseverance, you can gain.
Yeah. Okay. So, third question. I feel bad about myself when I make a mistake and my confidence suffers. Agree. This is so we're getting kind of personal here. Lucas, do you feel bad about yourself? I have to admit, yes, sometimes this happens. This is one of those areas where I have to go, hold on. I have to control my emotions. Emotionally, I tend to lose confidence when I make a mistake.
Yeah, I would.
It also depends on the context, but yes, I would say yes, I agree.
Yeah. I think it's for me, it's very contextual. Like, just depends, because I would say, like, throughout the day, I make a ton of mistakes, but I've been pretty good at my whole life of moving forward, even though I'm making mistakes. So,
right
now, there's some grandiose ones that I would say, like, have stopped me in my tracks and made me feel pretty bad. But for the most part, I've always been right. pretty good to, like, just keep trucking.
Yeah, I had a call today from a client, and I made a mistake that caused a problem for him in his church live stream, which is what I'm doing for a living right now. And I was like, oh, crud. But I don't really feel bad about it. I'm like, I'm sorry, dude. That's on me. And then I move on, you know? But there are certain times, and part of it probably is the response I get from somebody. If he had been, like, really upset about it, I might have really felt bad, which is, you know, that's not very constructive sometimes, but yeah, it's contextual for me. All right, here's the next one. Mistakes are valuable learning opportunities. Agree or disagree? So, I mean, in the growth mindset, I think you would say agree. If you're going to have a growth mindset, mistakes are valuable learning opportunities.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Comment there. We can move on. There's 15 questions. We don't want to take forever on everyone.
Yeah, keep going. Because I would say after the training, obviously I'm trying to to manifest a great right. mindset here. So
yeah, you want to view a mistake as a learning and growth opportunity. I'll say this though. You know, Huberman, when we talked about this, we may have talked about this in the podcast, but that's one of the things, like he talks about learning a skill, and my wife and I have used this in our music teaching. When you have a student that's trying to learn a skill, you want them to do, like, say, play a scale at the speed where they would make a mistake 20% of the time. Rather than, some people would say, you want to do it slow enough where you never make a mistake. And the science actually says you will never get any better doing it that way. You have to make mistakes to grow, because the mistake opens up the pathway for new neural pathways. It's the mistake process.
So
anyway,
you're saying these smart sciencey people are on the same page.
They are. They're kind of on the same page.
Wild.
Yeah. Yay, sciencey people.
Smarter than us.
here's the next one. A growth mindset, personal, play along at home. I feel nervous about taking on new challenges and trying new things. I prefer to avoid them. Well, yeah.
I mean,
I don't know. Have I always been that way, or is that because I'm getting old, Lucas?
I don't know. Like, it's hard to be stretchy. Like, I think I don't know. Maybe it's just an excuse, but it feels like anybody would feel more comfortable doing what they've always done.
Yeah.
But it is like, are you willing to be uncomfortable? Maybe we should write our own quiz,
right.
Phil.
Yeah, no, I think this is something to really think about, because this is saying, well, this is just my gut reaction at my sort of, if I'm feeling kind of lazy and I don't want to grow, then yeah, I prefer to avoid growing. But on the other hand, if I switch my mind just a little bit, there's a part of my personality even that says, heck yeah, I want to do as much new stuff as I can.
Yeah.
You know, I find sometimes the hardest books I can find to read, and I muddle through them for a year. And sometimes I just want to read something fun, you know? So, yeah. Depends. I mean, it's all about your attitude. So, we're saying in a growth mindset, you got to take on new things.
Yeah, I think that's the deal. Like, if you're going to grow, you have to do more and do different. And I think, like, I mean, for the most part, like, once again, like, I'm trying to trying to do this, but I mean, I did just change careers to something I've never done before, so maybe that's a good sign. Yeah. I don't know.
It is a good sign. It's a good sign. And it's a good... So, I want to pause right here. I don't know how many questions we've got. I feel like we're about halfway through this. Let's relate this to faith. Let's pause that because I don't want us to forget all these questions. So we've had all this these questions about new, and so I'll go ahead and give you the next question. I enjoy trying new things and taking on new challenges. Again, we're getting these questions kind of coming in pairs. You know, the first one is I avoid new challenges, and now it's I enjoy new challenges. So we had all these things about, you know, intelligence is fixed or is it something you can improve with hard work? How do these things relate so far? These, what, six, I think, questions we've had. How do these relate to faith or like growth in our spiritual life? What do you think, Lucas?
Well, I mean, to me, it's, I mean, we talk a lot about kind of having that constantly curious mindset in faith. And so as you explore the Bible, as you read, as you're looking at old dead guys, hopefully, and reading what they've had to say or listening to podcasts, you know, having that like, oh, well, let me think about that, kind of constantly being open to hear. And that doesn't mean that you agree with everyone, but it means that you're not just going, no, this is what I've believed my whole life, so this is where I'm at. Because the only way to grow is to learn new things, right? To do new things, to hear new things.
Yeah, you quoted somebody that said, well, if you believe the same thing now you did 15 years ago, there might be a problem. Mm-hmm, if everything you say is exactly the same as what you said 15 years ago, you might have a problem. I don't know who that was. I don't know. It was somebody that we considered fairly wise.
I mean, we quote Taylor Swift too, so... but I mean, things like that are true. Whenever people pull up, you know, politicians and they go, here's them in 1990 saying one thing. And then now in 2023, they're saying something different. It's like, well, yeah, I hope they do. Like it's been 30 years. Like you should learn something. And again,
you
like,
should not, grow. You should change.
I want to be very clear. I'm not saying that that they are right now and they were wrong before. What I'm saying is that, yes, like your opinion can change. Like, that's okay.
Yeah.
And again, on that note, I think just walking in faith, walking this out is like, it's okay to question God. It's okay to question scripture. Like, it's okay, but keep searching for an answer. I think that's where, you know, people... You see young kids that are like, I have questions, and so I left the faith. And you're like, you didn't look for answers. You just had questions. Like, there's a difference.
Right.
So, like, be a seeker. Be seeking to grow, not just to look for excuses.
All right. So, we're going to come back to the quiz now. The next question in the quiz is, only a few people are extremely talented, and they are born with it. That's an interesting question. I have always agreed with that.
I was going to say, like, I do have like a extreme, you know, like it's like, well, define your term here, because I'm like, there's like, you can grow in anything. Like, you want to be a better soccer player? Like, you can work really hard. There's the theory of 10,000 hours, which is if you spend 10,000 hours doing something, you become an expert at it. But also... Yeah. There's a lot of people who have worked really, really hard, and they're not Lionel Messi. They're not as good as him. You know, like, there's, you can work really, really hard, but I'm never going to be a 7-foot tall.
Who's Lionel Messi? Is that a basketball player?
Soccer player. Here, Phil,
I'll
put it to you.
Is he 7 feet tall? Okay, no. I'm sorry. You confused me.
I'm saying, like, just because I work really hard, it doesn't mean I'm going to be an NBA player. Like, there's some God-given abilities that you can't. You know, Travis Kelce is the best tight end in the league. Like, no matter how hard I work, first off, I'll never be that big. But second, like, he's that big and can run that fast. Like, it's insane.
Yeah.
And
there's a, now, also, but some of that is mindset. And some with somebody with his physical ability could probably learn from his mindset and do many of the things that he does.
Yes.
That's, you know, the reason he is what he is because guys who've come before him and that he plays alongside of, he's learning from them as well. So, yeah, I would agree that the sort of the extreme, you talked about the outliers, I think it's a real thing.
And that's where, like, the top 1%, but could I be in the top 10%? Like, probably, like if I worked hard enough.
I think so.
in just about anything.
Yeah, or the top, maybe the top 30. You know?
I don't know. I mean, especially talking athletics, if you drop out of professional athletes, like the average fitness level goes way down.
Right. Way down. The other side of that would be the harder you work at something, the more skilled you'll become.
And absolutely.
I 100% agree with that.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, and I think, you know, well, we're going to come to faith here in a little bit when we finish, but I think talking about hard work and faith is kind of a slippery slope, because sometimes hard work can be the opposite of faith.
Yeah.
But Paul said, you know, because of my faith, I strive and I work hard. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I often feel, this is the next question. Yeah. Do you have a comment on that?
Oh, I was just going to say, like, it is the, well, faith doesn't mean you do nothing. And we've talked, it was just a couple Sundays ago, our pastor at Bridgeway, he was talking about it. And he said, like, there's just what we do as Christian men is we should work hard and trust God. Like, it's not mutually exclusive that you would.
Yeah, I would agree.
So go on.
Yeah. Yeah, I would agree. So.
And I would say Christians, not just
Christian.
The
next question. I often feel discouraged or angry when I receive negative feedback about my performance. Ooh. Wow. That's a tough one.
That is really tough. It is really tough. Yeah. And I think it's again, contextual. Like, if you come in screaming at me, then yes. If you come in giving me, like, constructive feedback, like, I think it's all, and maybe that's on me. Like, I need to be better about it. But, like, if you come in there and yell and scream and throw a fit about what I'm doing, like, yeah, I feel really bad. But if you come in there to give me feedback, like, I'm okay with that. I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah, I know that there are companies, and we used to listen to a podcast called How I Built This. It's talked about all these, you know, the different ways people built these big, very successful companies. And there are some awesome stories and some kind of sad stories. But one of the really awesome stories was about a company who they were kind of struggling. And a guy came in who said, okay, your big problem here is that nobody knows how to criticize anyone, and nobody knows, everybody's afraid to criticize, and because nobody knows how to take criticism. And they opened a culture where everyone was required to criticize everyone.
Mm.
Everyone, and up and down. I mean, you were required to correct your boss and your boss's boss.
So that's,
and the head of the company. So everyone is required to criticize.
I'm working at a school, and that was part of our training, was a model of feedback. And so I think, like, I mean, this is from the Conscious Schools Project, and you can steal it because it's great. But it is like the model of to give feedback is ask, can I give you some feedback? And then it's when you do blank, it does blank to me. Or it does blank. How can we either how can we make that better? Or the feedback of that's awesome. Thank you. You know, because feedback isn't always just like, hey, you're doing this and it's wrong. It's also like, hey, I noticed when you did this, like, it had a huge positive impact, because, like, that's something people, not just to be praised and feel good about yourself, but to know too, this thing works, because you may not see it that it works yourself. So.
Yeah.
But I do think, I mean, this goes back to our conversation about Sam Presti and Shea Gildas-Alexander and the good relationships challenge one another. Like, you have to be able.
Absolutely.
For a relationship to grow, for you to grow as humans, you have to be able to talk to each other and just say, like, hey, you're wrong here. Or, hey, this makes me feel, or, hey, this does this, like,
right.
Or else you're never going to grow. Yeah. So.
Yeah. I mean, you cannot grow as well if you're isolated. You know, someone has to, it's like two people pulling on opposite ends of a saw. You know, you picture two lumberjacks sawing a piece of wood, sawing a big log with one of those double-handled saws. Apparently, what you can't do is push and pull. You have to, you know, one person, you both pull alternately or something like that.
Yeah,
there has to be, it's a give and take.
give and take. Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Right. And I like scripturally, this is obvious to me of just like a cord of three strands is not easily broken. Like you need to walk together. And like you look at David.
Iron sharpens iron.
You look at David with Bathsheba. Nathan came to him and called him out. David took that feedback from Nathan and then changed his life because of it. And you see that time and time again. And that's where like you look at the difference between David and Saul, right? Is that when the prophet came to Saul and said, "Hey, you screwed up." Saul said, "No, I didn't. I was doing this and I was doing this." And it wasn't, he made excuses for a long time before he finally admitted that he had done something wrong. Versus David, the prophet came to David and David said, "You're right," and changed everything.
Yeah.
And I think that's the picture. This is the picture God is trying to, is giving us in scripture, right? Is this growth, this feedback-centered model where you do need fellow believers to call you out on your stuff. You do need to have people in your life that you have given permission. Like, Phil, you're someone for me that has permission, right? You can come and say, "Lucas, I saw this in you," or I can ask you questions, and I expect you to give me a fully honest answer, because if not, what's the point? Why would I ask you to lie to me?
Yeah, if you want to help someone, you tell them what they need to hear. If you want to help yourself, you tell them what they want to hear.
Mm, that's good. That's solid. You know what I mean? That's like a t-shirt style quote, Phil. I like it.
It's a meme. I heard it. I think it was Jordan Peterson. I think that's Jordan B. Peterson, whom I think the guy is brilliant, awesome.
Nice.
here's the next question, statement, agree or disagree. People rarely change much. You simply are a certain kind of person. And man, I think under the gospel, we have to 100% disagree with that.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
In fact, Jordan B. Peterson, I just listened to one of his podcasts recently. That's not where I got that other quote. But he said that behavioral psychology, this is one of the greatest frustrations in the realm of behavioral psychology, is that he said antisocial behavior seems to be locked in by the age of 4. He said there's almost no successful process under clinical psychology that has been able to reverse or significantly impact antisocial behavior in anyone over the age of 4 years old.
That's wild.
And that's human psychology. Now we know the gospel is much more powerful than that.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah.
So you become a completely new person under the gospel and it with by the power of the Spirit of God. In that way, but our mentality is not, I mean, my belief about that is not really that you get better, but that you die and you're born again. You know, mm-hmm. it's a spiritual rebirth that takes place that allows you then to become a very different person.
So then you're under 4 years old.
Yeah, well that, because you...
Hey.
Excellent point, Lucas.
10 points, Gryffindor. All right, well bring it on, Phil. Let's wrap this quiz up.
Next question, learning is a lifelong pursuit. And I enjoy learning new things. You have to agree with that one. If I try something several times and I'm still not good at it, I decide it isn't for me. That is a very bad way to think. When I'm not good at something at first, go ahead. Go ahead.
Well, I'm just like trying something several times. I will say like that I may not give up, but I may move to a more fixed mindset of just like, well, I'm not very good at this.
It depends on the value of it.
Exactly.
And I think maybe something for us to think about in life is that regardless of what it is, maybe especially if it's something insignificant, it might be worth continuing to try to get better at it just to train our brains to grow and our mindsets.
I would say for me, like this is my handwriting. This is anything like artistic, like drawing, painting, because it is like I've never been good at it and I've tried.
Yeah.
But like, I think like, I can be, and I'm just realizing this, but like that's something I think I can take the, you know, things to try to be better at, to actually do it and not just make a joke out of it in the middle and do whatever I want.
Right. Yeah.
So,
okay. And then the next part of this, when I'm not good at something at first, I keep practicing. Even a little progress makes a difference. And I think that'd be good. You know, with some of these things, I'm not saying you need to learn to draw, but some of these things, maybe we could just say, hey, I'll do that again. You know, I'll just try that again.
Why did you keep trying to draw when you were terrible? It was literally just to try to grow my brain.
Yeah. You know, one of the reasons that I used to like to play golf is because I was so bad at it.
Oh, don't.
You know?
Fixed mindset, though. I cannot. I don't mind going to play golf, but I'm terrible. And I always use the excuse.
We should play together, Lucas.
You can't be a good golfer and a good dad. Because golf takes up so much time. That's my excuse.
You may be right.
So.
Okay. Here's one that's, I think this is kind of a ringer, but maybe something we need to examine our attitudes about. Naturally intelligent people don't need to try hard to succeed. You know, I think it was Einstein that said, the true definition of genius is the ability to work extremely hard. I think Einstein said that. Someone who we regard as a genius said that.
Yeah.
If people don't understand that, what geniuses really do is they have found something they can work really, really, really hard at.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I don't agree
with that at all.
I think there's more. Yeah. There's a lot to it. And like we even talked about with the 1%, you know, of extremely talented, like, there's a lot of hard work, like Travis Kelce. There's a lot of hard work that goes on top of being born
absolutely
with a, you know, to be that tall. You know, like that's ultimately, like there's a lot of hard work regardless. And like finding your area where you can work that hard is a big deal.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. So this has been a great, we won the quiz, by the way.
Yes. That means, Phil, you buy us coffee.
Woo.
If all we right, go to,
I will, Manville Avenue sometime this month.
Sounds
sometime.
Good.
Sometime.
I was just gonna, this, there's kind of a chart that goes with the growth mindset. Growth.
Sweet.
It's fixed mindset versus growth. Fixed mindset avoids challenges versus growth mindset embraces challenges, obstacles. Fixed mindset gives up easily. Growth mindset persists in the face of setbacks. Fixed mindset sees effort as a fruitless or worse. Growth mindset sees effort as the pathway of mastery. Fixed mindset ignores useful negative feedback, and growth mindset learns from criticism. And then this one always is like striking to me, that fixed mindset feels threatened by the success of others, and growth Ooh. Mindset finds lessons and inspiration in the success of others. As a Wow. result, they reach higher levels of achievement. And all this gives them a greater sense of free will.
Yeah, you know, I would say that something else that you could call a growth mindset is a sort of a brotherhood mindset or a love mindset. Because, like, you remember Thomas Traherne? Do you remember the old, really, really old dead guy that we read, quoted a couple times, who talked about insatiability?
Mm-hmm.
One of his big things is that you have to recognize, in order to rightly view the world, you have to recognize that God gave every person to you, meaning that you are the steward of everyone you meet. They're your responsibility, you know, and it's this love, this care for others, esteeming others better than ourselves, that he really talked about. And that gives you a growth mindset. If your concern is less for yourself and more for others, as it was with Jesus, as you know, and as he called us to, that's the kingdom of God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, again, the world comes at it from sort of the pragmatic standpoint. Mm-hmm. Hopefully, if we look at it from the standpoint of the gospel, we get sort of the spiritual power behind it. And a way to really do these things in from the heart rather than just from, oh, that's a good idea, I should try that.
You know? Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's a love mindset as well. Good. Mm-hmm. Well, great conversation. You got more on that?
more? You want more? No. Yeah, we'll have to grow some more later.
Okay, yeah. I didn't know what our time was like here. I wasn't paying attention to the time.
No, you're good. Yeah, we've gone about 42 minutes, so we're probably nearing the end of our time. But yeah, no, man. I think it's just the idea of a growth mindset is that you're always able to grow. So I think even if you're listening to this and you're like, well, I've always had a fixed mindset, that's kind of the point. Is that you don't you don't have to stay there, even at 60 years old like Phil. So... Did you say it's my minute of culture?
No.
It's your minute of culture.
Is it my I think it's my minute of culture. You had the dad story. My minute of culture was this is a very serious topic. And we might our next episode we might talk about this. The movie Sound of Freedom came out, which was an incredible story, a horrifying reality, is human trafficking in particular. Child sex trafficking child trafficking of any kind, but my goodness, how horrifying a reality this is in our culture, and that America is the number one consumer of child pornography, of child trafficked individuals. And so this is one of those things in our culture. I don't know. I know how I feel about child trafficking, and that's horrifying. It's horrible. Okay. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we're not, but the whole thing about that, this movie that came out, Sound of Freedom, do you think, Lucas, that there is, cause when we went to the movie, I'll tell you the story. We went to the movie and the air conditioning in our theater did not seem to work. It was extremely hot in the theater. When we told this to the waitress, at the restaurant after the movie, she said, that's because, you know, Hollywood doesn't want you seeing that movie. Do you think there is a conspiracy? I mean, I think there might be demonic resistance to a movie like this.
I think, I think the less people that see it, but the more it can just be brushed under the rug, because even with a movie like this, you wonder, like, there's going to be some uproar, but ultimately, like, this isn't new information. Like, do you think something's going to change, I guess, is the question. Because, scum of the earth, right? Like, like, God can save anyone, and we will give them to him. Vengeance is his. But, like, people involved in this, it's like, I don't know how I would react in that confrontation. how angry it makes me. But I don't know. I don't know if the conspiracy, you know, of like the air conditioner, but like you said, is there demonic resistance? And then definitely. Too, like, are there other, like, it's an extremely short run in theaters for a movie like this.
It is. It is. And it was kind of a low budget film. I mean, they have come up against resistance, and that part is true. Is it, you know, I think probably Hollywood people and executives would say, well, it's just not something people want to think about. So, you know, they're talking about
it's almost in the same vein of like shut up and dribble, where like, well, people don't go to the movies to see serious topics. They go to the movies to be entertained.
Right.
But then also they're what the movies that are put out as like critically acclaimed, they're not always entertaining. Like, a lot of times their artistic value is so, and it's like, I don't know. I think it's more of like, your highbrow people are telling me that that's good, so I have to believe you, because I don't know, but.
Yeah. Anyway, so go ahead.
Well, I was less serious note with that, but just kind of in those same conspiracy theories. This is several years ago. I had a lady cutting my hair in Tulsa who was spouting off about a lot of these theories, but she was getting deep into QAnon. Or QAnon, which was big.
QAnon, QAnon, QAnon.
So lots of different conspiracy theories just about these celebrities drinking children's blood and a lot. She was drunk at the time, took her 2 hours to cut my hair, did not cut it very well, and then kissed me on the head to finish. So anytime that's my experience with...
Yeah, I tend to be very anti-conspiracy theory just because of the number of people it takes to be complicit in some of these
Well, I'm not anti-conspiracy theory because there's a lot of, you know, you can look back and find records of our government doing some real shady stuff. So to believe there's no conspiracy theories is like, they're batting 100. Like, you think? No, not a chance.
100. 100 would be one of, yeah. Yeah, yeah. You're probably right. I am probably too skeptical about it. I would definitely fall on the far end of that spectrum in my initial reaction to all conspiracy theory. But yeah, when I was under the influence of pain medication after my shoulder surgery, I watched a documentary on UFOs, and I was 100% convinced.
Phil, you're getting old.
It's true. They're out there.
No, my encouragement, approach every conspiracy theory with a cautious growth mindset.
Yeah, we want to learn new things, right?
Yeah.
All right, Lucas.
All right. Man. Well, Phil, we love you, buddy. I think Naomi.
We're going to hear. Let's try to hear from Naomi on the podcast. Can you say love and pancakes? Naomi, what do you want to say?
Oh, she says bashful. Can you say love and pancakes? No. Okay.
Love and pancakes.
Love and pancakes. We love you, everybody. Thanks for listening in. If you have any questions, comments, or concerns, please send those over to secondbreakfast777@gmail.com or
secondbreakfast777@gmail.com.
All right. We love you, people. No wrap out today because I can't hear the music.
Love ya.
Bye.
Bye.